Hey, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. I will, just for the purposes of the recording, I will kick off with another acknowledgement, even though Teresa and I have already done that. But so I'd like to start by acknowledging the Ngunnawal people as the traditional custodians of the land that we're meeting on today and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Sovereignty was never ceded. This land was taken by force and has been retained by force. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Jessica Annalee and this is Teresa Thomas. Together we lead the quality assurance team at CECA, and that consists of a lovely intimate group of authorised officers. There's nine of us in total who come and visit you for your assessment and ratings of services. So first up, who do we have here in the room? And this will really help us work out how we're going to drive this session today. We want it to be useful for you. So if we can just have a hands up for those people that have been in the sector for less than 12 months. Okay, great, thank you. Thank you for being brave and popping your hand up there. What about people that have been in the sector for less than 3 years? Okay, well then more than 3 years is the rest of you, am I correct? Yeah. That's as high as I was going. But sorry, have we got more than 5 years? Yeah, okay, great, okay. All right.
More than 20?
Yeah, beautiful.
More than 30.
Lovely, yeah, exactly, great. Okay, so we've got...
Oh, that's oldies.
So we've got quite a diversity of people in the room today.
And I guess why we're doing that too is we found this really challenging to plan because we wanted it to be useful and we didn't know the cohort of people that were coming in, we didn't know... What people are looking for, so thank you.
So we will just get a show of hands, so it gives us a bit of an idea of who we like have in the room in terms of roles. So those that are working in an educational leader capacity or something similar along those lines, hands up. Okay, lovely, beautiful. Those that are working in management roles, director, nominated supervisor. Okay, a lot of you, great, thank you. And room leaders? Great. Relatable.
Yes.
The many hats you wear as a director. And what about assistant educators? Okay, all right, what have I missed?
I'm an administrator.
Great, okay, lovely. Awesome. Administrator, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. All right. So I will throw to Teresa, and we were going to ask what people wanted out of this session.
We did just want to ask, what is... Did you come in here with any preconceived ideas about what you wanted to get out of it? No big burning questions to start with. So what we might do is we might just run with this and conversational, if we diverge onto to other things that you want to know, we can try and incorporate that as well. So we're starting with, we're just going to review the planning cycle, and given the amount of experience that we've got in the room, we'll probably do that quite quickly. We'll discuss the difference between critical reflection and evaluational reflection, and critical reflection in the context of exceeding quality area one. Who wants to know about that?
Yeah. And obviously that's something Teresa and I are really passionate about. So while initially this was put out to you as a planning cycle and critical reflection, we really want to talk about critical reflection in the context of quality area one. Around those exceeding themes. So we will spend some time unpacking that at the end.
Plan. Awesome.
Well, plan. All right.
Okay, so just with the people beside you, jot it down if you like, up to you. Have a little chat about why do we need a planning cycle? Why do we bother?
We're giving you 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Just a quick touch.
We will be asking you to come back and share. All right, everybody, we'll get you to come back now. Sorry to interrupt. Some really robust conversations happening and also just getting to know each other, and that's really important, having these opportunities to network.
And just an example of what you don't do to children when they're engaged. Just do what we say, not do what we do.
Yeah. All right, so how did we go?
Anyone want to share? Thoughts? Why do we have a planning cycle?
Because we can find out what they should know and what they need to know, and then to support them in their further learning.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else?
And the critical intentionality is a mode when we are planning
for the growth and development of children or the young persons. Coming from OSH background, because we are looking at the middle childhood area of the children, and a lot of things are involved there with their growing up, their social, emotional, psychological, and everything. So it has to be very intentional while being leisure-based as well.
Absolutely.
So that's why you need planning cycle to observe.
Beautiful.
And do the whole cycle there.
And here?
The critical reflection that comes from it affects practice as well as planning for the child. So which in turn would affect the environment, the way you set it up, and social-emotional kind of goes to all those areas.
Beautiful. And what I'm hearing there is a really nice link in terms of intentionality. Okay, so it gives you intention to the work that you're doing, intention to your practice.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so this is the planning cycle, and we're using all the new images from the new AIF. So
The revised. That was my mistake yesterday. The trees were calling on.
So the revised ALF. So this is what the planning cycle describes, the process that educators go through, and in planning and documenting and responding and supporting children's learning. So individually, what we'd like you to do is just on a sheet of paper, if you could just write down what your planning cycle looks like and what the documentation evidence looks like in that space, in that planning cycle, because we're going to come back to it later, what you write down. So just quickly jot down.
And not what you want it to look like.
Not what you want
it
to look like, what it actually looks like now.
Yeah.
What does it look like now? So in these areas, you're evaluating, you're observing, you're assessing, planning. What does it look like at your service?
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. And we will be coming back to that, so thank you for taking a moment to write that down. And remember, we're not assessing and rating your planning cycle today. So please feel free to be brutally honest. We understand. Teresa and I both have been educators and directors and understand.
All of the above, all at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yep, yeah. All right. Okay.
Okay. So, slide please, Mr. So hang on to those, put them somewhere safe. And this again comes from the new ALF, and educators use these five components to inform their thinking about children's experiences and improvement of practice to develop and implement a curriculum that is inclusive of all children. And it's important to note here, and this is our favourite bit, that documentation or evidence collection occurs at every stage of the planning cycle. And that's what we're going to have a look at now. We're going to go through each one of these, and we're going to talk about what you have and what you think it looks like in each of these components. Okay? I was going to say steps then, but they're definitely not steps because it's a cycle. So, yeah. All right. Do you want to say anything?
Well, we were thinking about documentation occurs at every stage of the planning cycle. Why? Why do we document at every stage of the planning cycle? Who are you keeping track for?
The children, for the parents, for our colleagues.
For your regulatory obligations?
Yes.
I mean, we don't want you to be documenting as for the regulators. You're documenting for your community, but absolutely, you've got a responsibility, don't you? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So what could documentation look like? Am I jumping in?
No, you're doing a good job.
What could documentation look like? Now, what I want you to think about, like, obviously we look at this and we go observe, assess, plan, implement, evaluate. I think it's really easy for people to go, well, you know, at the, you know, planning stage or at the evaluate stage, that's when we sit down and do our documentation, okay? But actually, documentation occurs at every stage. So, but what might that documentation look like?
Can we go to the next slide? We'll do one at a time.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it over to you.
So this is, obviously we used to just look at it as observe, but now we've got the extra little bits, listen and collect information. So in this part component, we're observing the child across all parts of the day, we're listening to and we're engaging with the child, we're considering dispositions for learning, we're recording the child's voice, so lots of agencies coming in this space. This is where we're looking for that. We're documenting the child's interests, and we're discussing observations with the children and the families and, you know, all the other stakeholders, and seeking their input and their perspective in this part of the planning cycle. But what will your documentation of the evidence look like? What could it look like in this space?
Picture?
Yeah.
Drawings?
Yeah.
Video jottings?
Yeah. 100%.
Small books?
Yes. Especially with that child's voice coming through those floor books, because that's definitely somewhere where we see lots of children's voice coming out. People use those to collect that.
Yeah. Any other ideas?
Could it be just like notes of like little drop downs of
jottings.
Conversations of that you've had conversations with?
Yeah. 100%.
We use voice recorders.
Mm. I think the key
with the children's consent, of course, but
yeah.
And the key thing here is that the purpose of this is about collecting information, okay? So thinking about what are the ways that we are actually collecting information here? What are all the different tools that you have available to collect information? It's going to work differently depending on the age of the children, the educators you have, the backgrounds of the educators, their IT skills, their, you know, all of those things.
And particularly in this space, this is very, very contextual about what works for you. Like we see 101 different ways that this works just as effectively across different services, you know. So it might be sticky notes that, you know, people carry around their pocket and quickly jot down things. It might be iPads, you know, there's lots of different ways. There's no right or wrong. It's what really works for you, your service, the children, and what you have access to as far as issue digital technologies. Yeah. So We knew it as assess, but now we're going to know it as assess, analyse and interpreting the learning. So this is the thinking, the real thinking part. So this is where your professional knowledge and your understandings is all coming together, and you're really thinking about analysing and interpreting the learning that you've seen in your observe component. So we're identifying children's strengths, we're identifying areas for development, we're considering these in relation to the learning outcomes. We're drawing on all those early childhood theories. We're considering the child's family and their community context. And we're thinking about the next steps. What would documentation possibly look like here? I think it's starting to look a bit more formalised here. Whereas before, you know, you're writing on a leaf that you picked up on the ground because you ran out of sticky notes. Whereas this is starting to look a bit more formalised. So what might it look like?
Learning stories, a summative assessment,
follow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you say identify areas of development and we observe something, that's when we would think about the next steps for learning support or getting that observation done by them as well to validate that what we have observed.
Yeah.
Is right because they're trained.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I hear you're talking there about what are we actually doing in this? What are we doing with that space, with this information? What do we do with it next?
Getting that support person to come and do that observation as well.
Yeah. And we're thinking about, you know, where I could find more information, more research, more to help me to analyse this information that I've got in front of me.
And something that I used to do it myself, you know, when we're assessing, it'd be very easy, when I was a director last, where the educators would go, oh yeah, look, there's the observation, there's the assessment, and what they were doing was, we used a digital platform, they were just, you know, tagging it with the learning outcomes. Is that assessing? It's kind of like you've missed a bit in there, haven't you?
More like a link.
You've linked it, yeah, but you haven't actually demonstrated your thinking around what has actually happened in this observation. Why is this observation meaningful? What does this information tell me?
Why did I bother to observe it, I guess is what you're really thinking about. Why was it important enough for me to actually take note of it? Why was it important enough for the child to be celebrating and taking note of it? Why is it important to them? So you're thinking about that, and then you're starting to pull in, you know, your experts and your theories and, you know, to... Sometimes, like, we know what we see is really important, but we can't work out why, and that's where we're drawing on all those experts and that that knowledge base that's around us.
I think it's an opportunity for us to understand while we are assessing if there's extra support required for the child as well, where inclusion agency would come into action, or any more information about the parents we can provide to the parents for the development of the child, or you know, any support that they need.
This is where we go into seek mode.
Yeah,
seeking more information about the child's family, their community context.
Is it valuable to have those links on the same document with the other information?
Whatever works for you.
Yeah.
For me, it would be. But and this is the thing too, that we get caught in, you know, when we were initially mulling over this, well, what does a quality planning cycle look like? It doesn't actually matter what it looks like. It's about the content. Okay, it's about how it's used. It's about how meaningful it is to you. Like Teresa said, it could be leaves. It could be, you know, scratch marks on a leaf. That's your observation. It's what's actually in that observation. What's actually in your analysis. That's the rich tool. It doesn't matter what it looks like. At least to us. In terms of how you're communicating the leaf with the scratch marks to your families, that might you know, have other implications. But yeah, in terms, it's how meaningful it is.
And yeah, you being able to consistently explain to yourself and your families and you know, the other stakeholders, what this looks like and why you've done it and how it works is, you know, important.
So a combination of both really would be valuable, particularly to new educators, but families more importantly.
It's what works for you and your families, and what works for different brains is, you know,
sure, everyone's got a different learning style.
But it's certainly helpful to have some sort of consistency, I guess. So that your families, you know, as a, if you're in
across the whole service.
But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, that's important as well.
And I think, like you mentioned there about new educators, and again, this isn't a session on this specifically, but you know, something that we get into a trap with, I think, is that you can look at those outcomes and go, well, that could apply to almost, you know, any all of them might apply to any one observation. But is it meaningful then when you go and tag all of them? You know, so, and I think new educators can become overwhelmed with that and just suddenly go, oh yeah, look, they mentioned relationships, so I'm going to tag relationships, or they mentioned, you know, communication, so I'm going to tag that. But actually, what is the meaning? That's about your analysis.
Yeah, it's kind of quality rather than quantity in that space. Like, what's the really important thing? Why did you bother? What was really meaningful?
And also, I want to say that we are very conscious that you are already doing this, and lots of you are doing this at an incredibly high level. Obviously, we're just covering the basics right now, and then we'll get into some rich discussion around critical reflection. Okay, so please be patient with us.
Okay, let's move quicker.
Yeah. Okay. Plan and design.
Right. Plan and design. So this is where we're starting to take what we've analysed and do the where to. What are we going to do next? And you know, again, you know, think about what the motivating interests of the children. You're thinking about, consider how your learning goals can be jointly constructed with the children and the family. So that's all in that space. And again, it's going to all look very different for each of you, what your documentation might look like in that space. Again, this is probably more of a formalised area of your documentation. You know, you might have plans that the children do that. Does anyone would like to share something that they might use?
I want to relate to something that Rhonda said earlier, where she said that when we started in childhood education, we're often basing our plan design on the children's deficits. It's still a sort of tendency as educators. You know, I'm noticing that this child maybe has a deficit in this area, and I want to, you know, help him, assist him in reaching his outcomes. And I, in the first words I see in your sentence here, I see consolidate, enrich, and extend. I know in my context, the French Australian preschool, because we have a lot of people come from this background of looking at the deficits and then, and then helping the children reach those outcomes. It's a little bit difficult sometimes for my team when they see the word consolidate not to look at the deficits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit difficult sometimes to look at things in terms of extension or enrichment. I guess I'm sort of reaching out to other people to discuss that and talk about how do you help your teams focus on
not just
deficits. You should also focus on the deficits because we are all here to help children reach some outcomes.
Yeah.
So, but how do you balance this with, you know,
I'm also wondering if the revised frameworks will be helpful, and I don't know if you had an opportunity yet to.
Yeah, no, we've had.
Well, you're doing much better than I would have been as a director, because in my mind as a director, I would have been going, oh, I've got to 2024. I've got to 2024.
The date this morning,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. But no, we had already.
Yeah, and I mean, in there it talks about
around
assessment of learning, assessment for learning, and assessment
mm-hmm.
as learning. Okay, and I wonder if they're going to be good tools for you when you're working with your educators around assessment for learning. You know, what are children actually? What do we know that they need to learn?
Mm-hmm.
But what do they already know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, actually, what do they already know? Assessment as learning. You know,
and using those strengths to support them with what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at children as individuals, not as a group. Like, what does this little person need next from me? Using those strengths. And we've learned a lot about that through all the research and the focus, particularly in the space of autism,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, those special interests and those things that those children love so much is great to support them for their next step. And that can be applied to all children,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, maybe some looking at that space might help them too. Okay.
We've got 15 minutes and we want to get to the robust bit, so we're going to do speedy.
Implementing, this is the action part. There's also documentation happens in there, which might be observer documentation that's happening in this space, so you've got it all happening all around.
And I think as educators, we see people doing this really well.
Yeah.
We also see educators, you know, when we're assessing services where, you know, we really want to see educators engage with children in the moment rather than with the camera, okay? So being really conscious of those things, the two. Of course, you need to document these moments, but actually, are you better behind a camera right now, or are you, you know, as an educator,
choosing the moments.
Yeah, are you better off actually being engaged with this child and maybe taking a jotting later on?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, keep moving, TT?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Now we're getting to the good bit.
Okay,
this is what Jess was just talking about. This is the new bit within the AL, I keep going to say AFL, but I know that's wrong. Okay, so assessment for learning, of learning, and as children's learning. So that's what Jess was talking about before, and what we were trying to.
And when we say the new bit, obviously you've been doing this, okay? This isn't new terms to you.
Sorry.
Is just that it's actually really explicit in the revised framework.
It's been formalised.
Which is really nice.
So what we already knew as expert people that we are has been formalised.
And expanded,
okay.
Yep.
All right.
And this is this bit here, obviously. So we're going to. Should I just bump next to our critical? Yeah, okay. Cool.
Yep,
all right, cool.
Okay.
We're going. All right, the exciting bit. So, what is critical reflection? Okay, now often we hear educators going, oh, when I reflected on this and I reflected on that. And what do you think we see? We know when we look at the, you know, a sequence of snapshots around elements and things like that that are perhaps not met. You know, do you all get the a sequence snapshot that shows you what elements nationally? We know that there's a trend there that standard 1.3, and we know particularly around planning cycle and critical reflection is often a very challenging concept. And what I think I see, Teresa, as an authorised officer, is that people are going, well, I'm reflecting, but actually what we're seeing is evaluation. Okay, I see some nodding, yeah. And so what is the difference? Teresa, what's the difference?
I don't know. And Jess, what is the difference?
So when we're thinking about critical reflection, we're thinking about all these lovely dot points here, okay? Making links between theory and practice, exploring multiple perspectives, links to your philosophy, exploring how educators felt, and enacting change as a result. I'm gonna keep saying enacting change. Reflecting on opportunities for professional growth. Reflecting as a team or community and enacting change. Considering equity, inclusion and diversity and, oh look, enacting change. And thinking about continuous improvement. I think the biggest thing that you can take away from this, and again, I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know, but if you can get your teams on board with critical reflection, is about what do we then do with it? Okay, so we sat here and we went, yeah, this links to that or that, or this didn't really go particularly well today, and I think it's probably because of this. But to then get it over the line, to then be like, well, what do we actually do with this? To make it meaningful, to make it critical reflection is actually changing something. So often those evaluation or, and I've popped in there all reflection, because sometimes we, and actually the guide talks about reflection in an evaluation sense as well. You know, daily journal entries describing the day, observations about children's progress, all of those things are valuable, absolutely, but they're not sitting in that critical reflection space.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so look, we're not going to sit here and go through the SCAMPA method right now, because I don't want to take up your time with this, and I want us to have an opportunity to discuss a bit more. But I want you to take a moment to review what you documented as your planning cycle at the beginning of the session and scamper it. Would you like to talk about scamper, TT?
Scamper's just something fun. You can use this. I used to use this a lot when I had a team when I was in a service. But looking at how we can substitute something from, like, looking at your planning documentation cycle, can we substitute something? Is it something we can put in instead of something we've already got there? Can we combine two things to make it more efficient? Can we adapt something? Is there something in there that we already have that we just need to tweak a bit? Is there something we just need to modify, like change your wording or, you know? Can we put a document that we've got in there, it's not really working, can we put it to another use? Can we eliminate something, or can we reverse something, swap around things that we've got in there? So it's just a good way of looking at something. It helps you look at something a bit differently, and you can use it with lots and lots of different things. But, so you can do that later in your own time.
In all the spare time you've got to do.
Yes. You've got plenty of spare time, haven't you?
So thinking about critical reflection in the context of the exceeding themes, obviously it is... exceeding theme number two. So exceeding national quality standard, you know this, requires the service to go above and beyond what is expected at the meeting national quality standard level for that standard. And the higher benchmark for quality that is expected at the exceeding NQS rating level is described by three exceeding themes. Again, you will know all of this. I've just popped the themes there really just to bring them to the forefront. We're going to be looking at exceeding theme two, practices informed by critical reflection. Now, given quality area one requires a level of critical reflection in order to be considered met, we sometimes, like I said earlier, come across services at assessment and rating that don't understand that if they've got all the elements as met, why don't they have, in 1.3, we're thinking about 1.3, educational program practice, which already requires you to be critically reflecting. If that is met, why do they not have critical reflection?
As an exceeding
theme. Does anyone have any ideas? Anyone want to offer up? When we have a look at determining if a service meets the benchmark for an exceeding theme, authorised officers ask questions of the evidence they've gathered for each standard. Okay, and these questions, these are not top secret reg authority only questions. This is like page 97 of the Guide to the National Quality Framework, okay? You can have this open in front of you and look at this and look at the evidence you're showing us, or you plan on showing us, or what you want to talk to, and use these questions. Authorised officers will measure and analyse evidence they have gathered against each of these questions. And not only do authorised officers do this, but when our reports go through a moderation process, Teresa and I read every single assessment and rating report that goes out, one of us has read them, and we apply these questions as well. Okay, so we have to first and foremost look at, is the service reflecting on its practice for this standard? Now, if we're looking at it from a standard level, let's just take 1.3. We're not going to get an opportunity to go through all three standards, but if today's focus is around the planning cycle, let's look at 1.3. So the standard 1.3, educators and coordinators take a planned and reflective approach to implementing the program for each child. Okay, so we're now looking at critical reflection with regard to educators and coordinators take a planned and reflective approach to implementing the program for each child. So is the service actually reflecting on its practice at the standard level? So we see educators reflecting on practice in terms of their planning cycle, absolutely, in terms of you know, there's reflection in the planning cycle, but are they actually looking more broadly? Okay, are they actually, help me out here, TT, what was the next bit I was going to say?
Normally, I got the soy latte this morning.
Yeah. I mean, look at
the
1.3.2, critical reflection, that's looking, you know, much more at a micro level. This is taking it at a macro level, okay? This is zooming out. So once we've gone, is the service reflecting on its practice for this standard? So are educators and coordinators taking a planned and reflective approach to implementing the program for each child? Are they critically reflecting on that level? And if so, then let's jump to the next. Now, you don't have to have ticks for every single one of these, okay? This is just examples. Is it critical reflection? So does it involve robust debate? Does it reference theorists? Does it incorporate social justice considerations? Does it hypothesize, test, and evaluate different approaches to doing things? There's also, sorry, I'm going to go back here because obviously it's easier for me to read. Can decisions about practice at the service be linked back to critical reflection, and is this evident in observable practice? And often something, you know, a simple way that we see this is that when we're talking to educators and educational leaders and leaders at assessment and rating, and they're talking about their assessment and planning cycle and why they use the approach that they do, often they're just in their narrative, they're already weaving in that they've actually critically reflected on what was working, what wasn't working, and what they've changed as a result. Okay, it's not a trick. Okay, there isn't one thing to do here, there isn't one way, this isn't, you know, it's, you're actually just naturally the way you talk, often you would tell us, well, we came to the conclusion that this is what we needed to do in terms of programming and implementing the program because of all of these reasons, and we can see that, well, that's actually critical reflection. And then something key here, have staff educators relevant to their roles and responsibilities shown a clear understanding of the reasons behind any changes to their practice or continuation of their current practice? Did they actually know about this? Have they actually been involved in critical reflection? And we're not talking about your casual USH educator that works once a term, okay? This is all about, you know, appropriate to their level of and their role and their level of experience. When you're a brand new trainee educator, any other examples there? No?
No.
Your educational leader, yes, we absolutely would expect that they would be able to articulate why they've come to this, you know, what happened, what and why. And I guess the final point there around that is that everyone is able to articulate what they are doing and why. Okay, often it's about when we come out and see things, we might, and this applies to so many elements in the National Quality Standard, that we will come out and see something and we'll go, that probably doesn't really reflect what I would know as contemporary practice. But when people can actually say, well, I'm actually doing it because of this, and this is why. I mean, it was like what Lisa was saying in the first session about we don't put children into these positions, like around the natural movement. Yeah, but in that moment, the educator was able to go, well, no, this actually goes against kind of what we believe in here, but I'm doing it because of this. Okay, that's actually demonstrating them critically reflecting as they're going along, right?
And we're also looking for consistency. So not just critical reflection the week before, something that's gone across and it's weaved throughout.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes for burning questions.
Can I ask about documenting critical reflection, just because that's something that we're working
really
hard
on. Yeah, please.
So much of it is conversational, so much happens in meetings. And again, I also don't want an NLE to be sitting taking every note of, well, Therese said this, but then Susan came in hot and said, actually, what about?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
absolutely.
Like, I personally see value in documenting the debate part, which I think absolutely happens in our setting. But just like the outcome of the conversation and is verbal justification, like if you were chatting as in a, like with A&R looming, would you then is that enough? Do you think, like you said, if people can just say, well,
absolutely.
We had this big conversation at the staff meeting, everyone was in mini groups, we talked about all this and this is where we got to.
But it's also that we'd be able to see it in the practice that's changed.
Yeah.
So you've enacted change and we can go, well, we've had this conversation, we can see the change in practice. We heard conversations between educators. So it's not just about seeing it in one little place on one little document, even if you had it on a document, you know. So if we can see it elsewhere as well, and we can see those changes and we can hear it, you know, that the educators really understand what they're doing and why,
then yeah.
Yeah.
And I think key to that, I always, and when I'm talking with our new authorised officers about this, it's like in those meetings that we have, particularly our own Quality Area 1 meetings, we're seeing everyone in that being able to talk the talk, but can we see them walk the walk, okay? And that's where we actually see it in practice, what TT was saying. And also, we use a method of triangulating our evidence.
Yeah,
observing, discussing, and citing. Okay, so we try to make sure. Well, actually, look, it's Susan, isn't it?
Yes.
Susan said this, and I've kind of observed this in practice. We might look at, you know, do you actually have meeting minutes to demonstrate that you actually have meetings?
Mm.
You know, we're not going to sit there and trawl through all your meeting minutes to try and find where that happened.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an A in our secret too, that we triangulate evidence. I should. It's in your guide.
We are out of time. I'm sorry we didn't get more time for burning questions, but I think it just goes to show that actually, you know, there's probably more work in you know, to come on this. Teresa's